Planet Fitness has everything you need to start strong, so you can give everything you've got. From plate-loaded strength equipment and functional training areas to treadmills, stair climbers, and free weights. Our equipment is best in class, and our clubs are right around the corner, so you can make this your strongest year yet. Join the club today and save $28 or more when you join for $1 down, $15 a month. Cancel anytime. Deal ends Friday, January 9th. Are you coming? Planet Fitness. We're all strong on this planet. See club for details.
Welcome to the show where truth takes the mic, where the world spins fast, but we hold it tight. This is the Howie Silbiger Show on Truth Talk Radio, where the real
There was a time where I believed that we were living in civilized society. There was a time that I believed that North America was a safe place to live for the Jewish people. There was a time that I believed that we wouldn't have to face the realities of Jew hatred the way our ancestors did, not even 100 years ago. That time has long gone. We are no longer living in that time. Whatever we thought North America was has disappeared. And it has disappeared due to the absolute disinterest in the governments of North America to stop it from disappearing. It has disappeared around the world due to the absolute disinterest of governments around the world stopping it from disappearing. Jews have been subjected to hatred, major hatred, since they were the victims of the October 7th genocidal attack in Israel. It doesn't make any sense, does it now? When you think about it, how much sense does this make? Jews were attacked for the simple reason of being Jews. There was no political motive for the October 7th attack. There was no political motive for people to come through the borders of Israel and Gaza and massacre people in their beds in the kibbutzim. There was no political goal, no political gain to that. The terrorists themselves say that they were commanded by their leadership to kill as many Jews as possible. Not as many Israelis as possible, as many Jews as possible. The Hamas charter doesn't say, you know, destroy Israel and kill all the Israelis. It says that Israel has to be dismantled. But it doesn't say destroy Israel and kill all the Israelis. The Hamas charter is very clear that it is their responsibility to kill Jews all over the world. Not just the usurpers and the people who dared to set up a country on Islamic land, as they believe it is, but everywhere in the world, Jews are responsible and must be killed. So it is not It's not overarchingly surprising that Jews are constantly under attack, even when they were the victims. We all know that liberalism never really cared about the Jewish people. We all know that liberal society never really considered Jews as victims, or considered Jews as anything more than the aggressors. We know that the woke society, the society that created itself as the savior to everyone, was the savior to everyone except for the Jews. The Jews somehow are always the aggressor and never the victim. So October 7th happened, and Jews suddenly became the aggressor, not the victim. They were the victim for 2 days, and then they became the aggressor. Because every country in the world has the ability and has the right to defend themselves, has the right to even retaliate. Look at America after 9/11. They destroyed three countries. That was okay. But if the Jews decide to take out a genocidal organization that is hell-bent on destroying not only them, but all Jews around the world, suddenly Israel's the bad guy. Suddenly Israel's not the victim. Suddenly Israel's the aggressor. Israel's the genocidal maniac, not the people who claim they're genocidal maniacs, not the people who proudly state that they're genocidal maniacs. They're not the maniacs. Israel is the maniac. Israel is the country that has to be targeted and has to be destroyed. And we see this over and over and over again. And it's not surprising because we've seen the story before. In Spain, just yesterday, Jewish businesses were attacked in a Kristallnacht kind of attack where they were spray painted Jews, Jewish owned business, and their windows were smashed. It's a stark reminder of the events that led up to the beginning of the Holocaust. Now, there was a time where I didn't make these comparisons. There was a time where I said, a Holocaust in North America, a Holocaust in the world. The world's not crazy enough to go and kill another people the way they killed the Jews. They're not crazy enough to reopen murder factories, to reopen genocidal factories to murder Jews. There's nobody in the world that would think that way. But now we see mobs and mobs of people in the streets yelling death to the Jews. We see mobs and mobs of people in the streets holding up Nazi swastikas and claiming that Hitler didn't finish the job. We see mobs and mobs of people in the street attacking Jews, attacking Jewish businesses, beating on people, burning down buildings, throwing Molotov cocktails, throwing rocks, hurting Jews. And the world has sat quietly. In fact, the world has applauded it. It's amazing. The world has applauded these attacks on the Jewish people. Why would you applaud an attack on innocent people? Who knows? But the world has applauded them, has encouraged them. Governments have not stood in the way of them attacking Jews. There's no government that has enforced any of the laws that they would enforce against anyone else. The Quebec government in Quebec, in Canada, has decided that they're going to pass more secularism laws, punishing everyone because they don't want Arabs praying in the streets and blocking off traffic while they're protesting Israel, or protesting Jews, or both, supporting Hamas. So they're going to be passing more stringent laws, punishing everyone, because they're afraid to just punish the Arabs that are doing this, punish the Muslims that are doing this, punish the pro-Hamas people. There has been one city in the world that has ordered their police to arrest people standing in the street yelling for the genocide of Jews. Anytime they chant from the river to the sea, they're yelling for the genocide of the Jewish people. Anytime they chant that Hitler hasn't finished his job or gas the Jews like they did in Sydney, Australia, they're not even hiding what they want to happen. It's not even hidden. They're not even afraid or ashamed to say, we want to gas the Jews. That's how bad it's gotten. And yet, world Jewry sits on their thumbs. World Jewish organizations that take millions and millions of dollars and say, oh, we're protecting the Jewish populations everywhere. We're going to negotiate backdoor negotiations. We're going to make sure everybody's safe, have done nothing. Zero, except for raise more money. We must protect everyone. In every generation they rise to kill us, says a Federation CJA ad. In every generation they rise to kill us, we have to give more money so we can protect you. How exactly are they protecting you? Before you give out your hard-earned money, ask that question. How are they protecting you? What are they doing to protect you when the government of Canada has already recognized the Palestinian state, rewarding Hamas for their massacre of the Jewish people? Recognizing a Palestinian state publicly before the hostages were even released. How are they protecting you? How is the government protecting you? How are the backdoor diplomacies working when people are being beaten on the street, when Jewish institutions are being vandalized? Oh, it's working really well. Really, really well. You could just smell how well it's working, how great Federation is doing. Just the other day, a Toronto model says she was tossed out of an Uber just after midnight because she's Jewish. The incident has raised a lot of concern about anti-Jewism in a major transportation service used across the country. Miriam Matova, she's a Slovakian-Canadian model and a former Miss Slovakia, said she was ordered out of the vehicle at a busy intersection after the driver heard her speaking about a recent trip to Israel. Matova had been on FaceTime call talking about her visit to Israel just a few weeks earlier. Adding to her account, the female driver stopped abruptly and told her to get out. When she asked what was happening, the driver said she didn't feel comfortable driving her. Matova then asked why. The driver replied that she does not drive Jewish people. Matova stepped onto the corner. She waited for another ride and tried to understand what had just happened. Now Matova and her friend had booked the trip. They reported the matter to Uber. Now, the company contacted her a couple of days later with an apology and a refund, but it hasn't confirmed whether or not the driver is still working on the platform. The company cited privacy rules, which has only added to the questions about how seriously the situation is being addressed. Matova said that a serious case of anti-Jewism requires immediate action and that a refund doesn't resolve the underlying issue. And she's 100% right. It doesn't resolve the underlying issue. Now, how could a Jew get into an Uber knowing that their Uber driver is throwing people out because they're Jewish? How many more slaps in the face does the Jewish community have before they grow some teeth? Where are the mass Jewish protests in the middle of the street? Where's the angry? That is the question I have. Why aren't people more angry? Why aren't our Jewish institutions more angry? Why aren't our Jewish leaders more angry? Where are our rabbis? Why aren't they angry? Why is everyone just sitting back and accepting this and saying, it's the price we pay for living in the diaspora? Well, if that is the price we have to pay for living in the diaspora, if the price we have to pay is constant attacks, being thrown out of Ubers because we're Jewish, well, then maybe our Jewish leadership should start really trying to get Jews out of the diaspora. Maybe that's the solution here. Because it's not working. What they're doing is not working. Apparently, it's not working. And so, with the lack of anger from the Jewish community, these attacks on Jews will just continue. They will just continue. For example, how about this one? The Guinness Book of World Records, Guinness World Records is the organization that publishes the Guinness Book of World Records. They've confirmed that they're no longer accepting new record submissions from Israel, the West Bank, or Gaza. A freeze that began in the weeks following October 2023 and was kept out of public view for more than a year. The organization's timing coming directly after the deadliest attack on Jews since the Holocaust and the war that followed is raising pointed questions about how and why the world's most prominent record-keeping body enacted this change. The policy surfaced only after Matnat Chaim, Israel's leading kidney donation organization, attempted to register a planned gathering of roughly 2,000 living kidney donors in Jerusalem. The charity was told that Guinness would not process the request because it was taking place in Israel. That answer revealed an internal rule that had barred Israeli submissions since November 2023, barely a month after Hamas murdered more than 1,200 people in Israel and took Israeli hostages and ignited a global wave of anti-Semitic hostility. Guinness has offered only a brief statement saying that in the current climate, it's not generally processing record applications from Israel nor the Palestinian territories. It added that the freeze is reviewed monthly and suggested it hopes to resume accepting submissions soon. The organization has not released a detailed explanation, nor has it clarified whether the decision was related to political pressure, security considerations, or reputable concerns in the aftermath of October 7th attacks. The only exception Guinness has acknowledged involves the record attempts held in cooperation with the United Nations Humanitarian Relief Agency. The group has not explained why this narrow exemption exists or whether it reflects a new layer of scrutiny unique to this region. Now, Israeli officials and community leaders reacted immediately. Foreign Minister Gideon Saar called the move inexcusable and demanded its reversal. Advocates have questioned how a mass casualty terror attack against Israelis could lead to a policy that restricts Israelis, especially when the blocked record attempts involves a humanitarian achievement that saved lives across the country. So Guinness is essentially punishing Israel for being the victims of a terror attack. They're punishing Israel for being the victims of a genocidal attack. But of course, that's okay because it involves Jews. It's perfectly okay to punish Jews, to collectively punish an entire country because they were attacked. It's perfectly okay, according to Guinness, to say, hey, you got attacked, you got killed. Some of your people were taken hostage and held there for 3 years. But we're going to ban you from our book because you're the victim and we don't like victims. No, so we're going to ban you. How crazy is that? And this is the culture we're living in. This is the way we are living. This is what we have to accept as Jews. And this is what does not trigger anger with our Jewish community leadership. Pro-Hamas supporters could stand on the corner in Toronto, they could stand on a street corner in Toronto, screaming death to the Jews, and it's the Jews that get arrested. The Jews that come to counter-protest get arrested. The Jews that get up and say this is unacceptable. The Toronto School Board could publish and pass a resolution that says that Palestinian history has to be taught in schools. And when Jews protest, they're the ones who are arrested. I'm still trying to understand the logic here. When they're trying to promote the hatred and the destruction of Israel and the hatred of Jews, why are the Jews constantly punished for this? Maybe someone could explain it to me. The lines are open, 1-877-669-1292. Maybe you could explain it to me. I don't know, because it doesn't make any sense. I don't often say I don't know, but in this case here, I'm totally dumbfounded by all this, because it makes no sense. Another thing that makes no sense, which happened this week, is a senior Hamas figure who was released earlier this year in a prison exchange has appeared as a featured speaker in an online event promoted by activists in Canada and the United States. Osman Bilal, who is serving a multiple life sentence in Israel for his involvement in a series of deadly bombings that killed and wounded civilians, took part in a virtual seminar titled Intifada of Stones. The event was circulated widely by networks linked to North American supporters of the Palestinian cause and included promotional material that highlighted Bilal alongside Khalid Barakat, a PLFLP, Popular Front for Liberation of Palestine operative, who had been identified by Canadian security agencies as a member of the leadership of the group. Bilal is described in Israeli reporting as a senior member of the Hamas military wing in Nablus. He was sentenced to 27 life terms for his role in several attacks carried out by the organization during the period of suicide bombings and bus explosions. Palestinian sources that support militant groups have been long portrayed him as an important figure in the movement and celebrated his release in the most recent prisoner exchange that took place in February. When I say militant, I mean terrorist. You know that. His participation in the online seminar was promoted by Masr Badil and his youth network, Tariq El Tahir. Both groups operate across Europe and North America and regularly share platforms with individuals connected to Hamas, Islamic Jihad, and the Popular Front for Liberation of Palestine and other armed groups. The Canadian focus comes from the fact that the promotional material for the webinar was distributed by accounts based in Canada and led by activists linked to organizations that have held rallies and teach-ins in cities across the country. Now, the Center for Jewish Israel and the Center for Israel and Jewish Affairs has already sounded alarm, knowing that a man convicted of multiple lethal attacks was being presented as an authority on the First Intifada. Sija pointed to the 27 life sentence handed down to Bilal and raised concerns of the decision to showcase an event with significant Canadian audiences. Sija also noted that Barakat, another advertised speaker, is tied to a group that appears on the Canadian list of terrorist organizations. While the webinar promoted itself as a discussion of historical memory and popular resistance, the inclusion of speakers with direct records of involvement in armed violence is drawing attention amongst counter-extremism experts who warn that the lines between political advocacy and public promotion of designated groups are being deliberately blurred. Masr Badil has positioned itself as an international revolutionary framework that rejects any negotiated process with Israel. Its literature joins celebrations of freed terrorists with calls for continued confrontation and has held joint events with groups that endorse the armed campaigns of Hamas and the Popular Front for the Liberation of Palestine. We're mainstreaming terrorists. Now, it's not the first time we've seen the mainstreaming of terrorists, but terrorists are being mainstreamed. The hatred of Israel and the hatred of Jews is being mainstreamed. We are living in a world where killing Jews is acceptable, where advocating the death of Jews is acceptable, where telling Jews we don't care about you is acceptable, where rewarding terrorists who massacre Jews with a state is acceptable. I expected more. 30 years ago, maybe 40 years ago, there was mass protests in the street to free Russian Jews. Mass protests in front of the Russian embassy to free Russian Jews, to say, hey, let our people go. We had Jewish singers who wrote songs saying, a thousand shouted no, let our people go. And others. Now, silence. Nothing. Nobody cares. Apathy has grown. And I'll blame this apathy on a couple of things. I'll blame it on social media and the instant communications, the instant gratification of getting news instantly. I'll blame it on a lot of other things. General apathy, general hatred, underlying hatred of Jewish people that has existed in North America for centuries. But the last thing I'll blame it on is the apathy of the Jewish community. You know, we yell never again, and we do this a lot. We yell never again. We're never going to allow this to happen again. Never again is now. There's all sorts of slogans, and they're great slogans. They sound really great when people yell them. They're such amazing slogans. I love them. I think the slogans are amazing. But they mean nothing. They're hollow. They're hollow slogans. Because if never again is now, then we must rise up and we must fight against this hatred that is rapidly approaching. If never again is now, then we must do everything in our power and put our own well-being in jeopardy to save the Jewish people. If never again is now, then we cannot allow this Nazi movement to rise up and commit another genocide against the Jews around the world. If never again is now, then maybe we should start acting like never again is now. Maybe we should stop pretending that this will all pass. In 1939, the people who thought this would all pass, this was just a passing phase, it will all die down and everything will get back to normal, ended up in gas chambers. Ended up in crematorias. If never again is now, let's learn the lessons of history and let's move forward as a strong people, as a people who will fight to protect ourselves and fight to survive. It's enough sitting around doing nothing. Our puppet leaders, our rabbis, have to get up and be a little more vocal. Our Jewish leaders, I know there are only Jewish leaders because they have money, but put your money where your mouth is. Get off your butts and do something. Because sitting around and doing nothing is going to result in a massacre, in a genocide, in the second genocide of the Jewish people in less than 100 years. And when that happens, the only people we could blame, it's not the people committing the massacre. It's the people who had every opportunity to stop it and chose to sit on their hands and do nothing, or chose to exploit it to raise more money for their organizations. Those are the only people we'll have to blame. Don't be one of those people. I'm Howie Silberger. This is Howie Silberger Show. Thanks for joining me. I'll see you next time.